Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. My name is Tracy Milner. Many of you know me as Tracy Terespolsky, and I've been a foodie most of my life. I started a company called Tracy's Treats, just to give you a little bit of background about me. I started Tracy's Treats in about 1996, 97, and eventually incorporated that as a swing-off because I was giving cooking classes for adults into kiddies cooking classes, which I called Kids Cooking School. With the lockdown, obviously, there have been a lot of people asking for recipes to do with kids and activities to do with their children. We're all in the same boat right now. And I have been asked by a few people to regenerate the kids' cooking class recipes, possibly into a recipe book, which I am looking at doing and intend doing, obviously, after the lockdown. But I would love to share some of the recipes that I've had great fun doing with the kids over the years and have really enjoyed interacting with them. So please feel free to call in while during the show if there's anything you would like me to share in particular. But I will be sharing quite a few nice recipes that you can do with the kids, and I will put them up in our Facebook page at the end of the show. The Facebook page is Tracy's Treats. You can find us easily, and I will share my cell number with you too. I think we need to swap over for a live read now. If
you're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, it's Tracy Terespolsky, Tracy Milner speaking. I'm standing in for Sharon Lurie, as a big shout out to her. She's just, she and her family have just welcomed a new baby into their family. Her daughter had a little boy, lots of mazel with him. Okay, another recipe I'd like to share with you, which has always been very popular, is surprise muffins. This is a really, really easy one that anybody can do. The ingredients are 500 mils of vanilla ice cream and 250 grams or 1 cup of self-raising flour. You can double that, you can triple it. So you could easily do 1 liter of vanilla ice cream with 2 cups of self-raising flour. If you don't have self-raising flour, use 2 cups of flour and 2 teaspoons of baking powder. The method, preheat your oven to 220 degrees, that's Celsius obviously, 450 Fahrenheit if anyone still has Fahrenheit. Grease your muffin pans. Place the ice cream and flour together in a bowl and beat well. Spoon the mixture into the muffin pans and bake for 20 to 25 minutes or until golden brown. You can use any flavor ice cream you like. You could use a strawberry ice cream and add some frozen strawberries or fresh strawberries to it. You could make them chocolate flavor and add some chocolate chips. You could make it coffee flavor and add some extra coffee powder. Whatever you fancy, they're really, really fun to do and really, really quick to mix. So that's one that we use a lot that has really been popular, and it's a lovely one to do with your kids. You could even do it virtually with your grandchildren for those grandparents who can't see their grandkids at the moment and are missing them terribly. Another recipe I'd like to share with you is peanut butter and Smarty biscuits, another one that I've had a lot of requests for. The peanut butter and Smarty biscuits are lovely to use at birthday parties and just any time. It's kind of a crunchy biscuit, but it's got the addition of the Smarties on top just to give a bit of fun. And you can use the Smarties to make a lovely decoration too. So you can make faces or anything else on the Smartie, on the biscuits, and make them obviously as big or as small as you like. These have quite a few more ingredients, not quite as quick and easy as the others, still quick and easy, but more ingredients and more fun for the kids then because they're measuring. So in this one, it's half a cup of jungle oats or any oats, 125 grams of margarine. You can substitute oil very easily. 1 cup of sugar or 250 mils of sugar. 5 mils of vanilla essence. That's 1 teaspoon. 1 egg. 40 mils or 3 tablespoons of peanut butter. You can use crunchy. I generally use smooth. Crunchy gives more of a crunch, obviously. 5 mils or 1 teaspoon of baking powder. 2 cups, 500 mils of flour. 5 mils or 1 teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda. Pinch of salt and 3/4 of a cup of Smarties. Okay. Our method. Preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius and grease your baking sheet. Line it with parchment paper, a lot easier for cleanup. Beat together margarine and sugar. Mix in your vanilla, your beaten egg, peanut butter, and jungle oats. Add salt, baking powder, flour, and bicarbonate of soda to this mixture. Add the Smarties. And then form little balls with the mixture. Place on a baking tray and flatten slightly. You can either add the Smarties to the mixture or, as I said, use them on top to decorate. Bake them for 10 minutes or until golden brown and store them in an airtight container. Very, very nice, easy, lovely recipe to do and enjoyable for adults and kids. If you don't want to add the Smarties, they're delicious biscuits just on their own. Also a lovely, lovely biscuit. Right. Just trying to think, what else would be a lovely recipe to do with the kids right now? What about a nice yogurt cake, which is lovely to measure? The yogurt cake. For this one, all the measuring is done directly with the yogurt cup, or with the bowl, the container that the yogurt comes in. So, again, you can use whatever flavorings you would like. So the yogurt cake, you use 175 mils of a yogurt of your choice, any fruit yogurt. You use one container of oil using your yogurt container as the measuring device. So you'll use your 175 mils of your fruit yogurt of choice, 175 mils of oil, so that's your number one. Number two, 2 containers of caster sugar or ordinary sugar. So that's your number two. And three yogurt cups of self-raising flour. So it's a 1-2-3 yogurt cake. One of yogurt, one of oil, 2 of sugar, 3 of self-raising flour, and then 3 eggs. And you can add a teaspoon of vanilla essence or 5 mils. Again, if you're using ordinary flour, just a tip for any baking that you're doing, you use whatever your quantity of flour is. For every 1 cup, you add 1 teaspoon of baking powder. And it works exactly the same. So your method. Set your oven to 180 degrees. Mix your caster sugar, your yogurt, your oil, your eggs, and your vanilla essence together very well. Pour that all into a greased baking tin. And you could use a bundt pan for that, which is a ring tin. And bake for 45 minutes or until done. Now, some of you might not have cake pans. Not everybody is well stocked with these things. I think lockdown has caught a lot of us by surprise and has brought a lot of new skills into our into what we are doing currently. And you can use muffin pans for this. You can use paper casings and, you know, make cookie cups out of it. You can also, a lovely tip that I've always done, keep your tuna tins and wash them out very, very well. And you use those as mini cake tins and then let the kids decorate that however they would like to. And that makes a nice little individual cake or a nice cake for two. You can even sandwich them. So you have 2 tuna tins, line them well, bake in them, turn out the cakes, sandwich them together, and you've got a cute little sandwich cake that's a lovely tea for two, and they freeze beautifully too. You could use a nice granadilla yogurt and make that into a granadilla cake. And then obviously ice with a granadilla water icing. You can just mix some icing sugar with a tin of granadilla pulp or fresh granadillas that you can just turn out of their skins. Whisk that together and pour water if necessary, and pour that over your cake.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back, everybody. And I hope you're enjoying some of the recipes that I have shared so far. I will share some more with you. I just wanted to share some of the fun times I've had over the years with the kids' cooking classes. I have done birthday parties and various activities with kids. The birthday child obviously leads the recipes with me and the demonstrating. And we just have great fun making a few things and decorating them, and then the kids take them home. So it's just a really fun activity. The Tracy's Treat side of things, obviously we are still doing catering. We do Shabbos meals, we do Yontif meals. Any help, basically, we are your chef away from home. Your personal chef on call, as I call myself. I will give more details, but you're free to look at my Facebook page, Tracy's Treats, if you would like to know more. I will have a competition coming up at the end of the show that you can do with your kids. So it's a bit of a challenge to make one or two of these recipes with your children and post some pictures and tag Tracy's Treats, our page on Facebook. And the winner will not necessarily be the one with the most beautiful looking creation, but the ones who've had definitely the most fun. I would just love to see all of you having fun with your children. This is a very challenging time. It's hard to be stuck indoors, for the kids especially. I think we as adults are finding it hard, but for our children, this must be incredibly difficult. Not seeing their friends, not being able to interact. They're used to going to school. They enjoy going to school just to see their friends, if not for the school part of it. The socializing is so important. And if we can just bring them out of this with a sense of achievement, we can teach them how to become self-sufficient in this time. Learning to make their beds in the morning, learning to help around the house, things that they maybe take for granted, and learning how to be self-sufficient in the kitchen, which I think is a life skill that everybody needs. We tend to mollycoddle our kids a lot. Not all of us. A lot of kids don't like the kitchen. But if we can show them from a young age what fun the kitchen can be, it's not necessarily just drudgery and putting out a meal. Have fun with your food. Play with your food. You will then enjoy being with your food and shopping and doing all those things and providing and making and just enjoying seeing the joy on people's face when you've created something. So, another recipe I'd like to share with you is, it's called pizzeritas. Now, I use bread for this. You can use a loaf of sliced bread. You can use brown bread, white bread, whatever you have on hand. You take out a slice of bread, one at a time, obviously, and you roll it flat. With the crust on, doesn't matter. Use a rolling pin. If you don't have a rolling pin, use a roll of Glad Wrap works beautifully, and it doesn't stick, and you can just take off the edge of the Glad Wrap that you've used when you've done. So you haven't got much cleanup either. There are lots of things you can use if you don't have kitchen utensils. So roll it out as flat as you can, and then using a nice cutter or even a nice glass, if you don't have a pretty cutter, I usually use a flower-shaped cutter, cut out so that you don't have any crust on your bread. So make a nice round shape or a flower shape or a heart shape, whatever you have available. And then we'll get started. But first, set your oven to 180 degrees or 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Roll out each slice of bread until very thin and cut, as I said, into a flower shape with a cookie cutter. The balance of the ingredients that you'll need, butter or margarine, a pizza spread, any pizza spread of your choice, or you can mix a tomato sauce with some basil and a bit of water to thin it out. You can make a very nice pasta sauce and freeze it in batches. You get the idea. You need a tomato base of sorts. You need grated cheese, and then olives, anchovies, mushrooms, whatever other ingredients take your fancy to decorate a pizza, and oregano or Italian herbs. So we've rolled out each slice of bread very thinly, and we've cut it into our shape. Spread each shaped slice of bread with margarine or butter, and then spread with pizza spread. You can leave out the margarine or butter if you prefer. It's not an essential. You can just spread with your pizza spread or your marinara sauce, your tomato sauce. Put on your desired toppings like olives, mushrooms, etc. You can decorate your flower. If you've made a flower shape, you can decorate your heart. You can make a face onto your pizza. Sprinkle with spices and top with grated cheese, and then pop them in the oven and bake for approximately 8 to 10 minutes or until your cheese has melted. These are nice to use even as an appetizer for adults. No reason to keep them just for the children. Very, very quick and easy, and you can make them as small or as big as you like. You don't have to use the full slice of the bread. You could cut that slice into four mini little pizzas, and they're very nice bite-sized treats for appetizers before a dinner or just as a starter when you're having a meal. Okay, a lot of people have been asking in this time for quick and easy bread recipes. For some reason, this lockdown has brought out the baker in most of us. The quick bread that I like to use, which is very easy, and again, the kids can mix it themselves, the older children, of course. The younger ones can have fun just, you know, helping you to mix everything together and giving it a bit of a knead. This is a lovely one to use if you want to make your own pizza as well, a pizza base, and you can just flatten it into a round tin or a square or rectangular tin. But it's a lovely, quick and easy recipe. I use it to make, it makes about 8 rolls, bread rolls, depending on the size that you make them. So again, let me give you the ingredients. I'll try and do it as slowly as I can. Quick bread is half a packet of instant dried yeast, a dessert spoon of oil, 3/4 of a cup of warm water, 1.5 cups of white flour, and a pinch of salt. To make it easier, you could double it, and then you would use a full packet of the dried yeast. So to double that, the quick bread, 1 packet of instant dried yeast, a dessert spoon of oil, 1.5 cups of warm water, 3 cups of white flour, and a pinch of salt. When we talk about warm water in a bread recipe, or a yeast recipe rather, the temperature of the water should be just above room temperature, skin temperature, or skin temperature. You don't want to make it too hot because the heat will kill the yeast, and if it's too cold, it doesn't work adequately. So you need to make sure that your water is not too hot. Rule of thumb, if you're using 4 cups of water, you could use one boiling and 3 cold, which gets it to more or less the correct temperature. I prefer to just run the water tap until I'm happy with the temperature and use it that way. Right, our method. This is a very easy one. Set your oven to 230 degrees, which is quite a high temperature. It's a hot oven. And grease your baking sheet or line it with parchment paper. I tend to just use parchment paper these days. It's much easier for cleanup. If you don't have, again, you could use foil. Foil works well. Spray it with spray and cook. Or just straight onto your tins. If you've got a good Teflon one, they're great. Right, your method. Put the flour, yeast, and salt into a mixing bowl. So that's 1 packet of yeast, your 3 cups of flour, and your pinch of salt into a mixing bowl. Add your oil and water. So it's 2 dessert spoons of oil and 1.5 cups of warm water. add them together, add those to your bowl and mix everything together until you've formed a firm dough. If your dough is sticky, add a little flour, and if it's dry, add a touch of water. Put your dough onto a floured board or onto your countertop sprinkled with flour. Push your hands into the dough, gather it into a ball, and turn it again and again for 5 minutes. This is called kneading the dough or working the dough. This activates the yeast, activates the gluten in the flour, and gets everything to come together beautifully. So you might have a dough that looks very unformed and very patchy and blotchy and not a cohesive dough at all. And once you've kneaded it that little bit, you'll form a beautiful, smooth, elastic ball of dough. That's what you're gathering. That's what you are aiming for. And once you have that smooth ball of dough, to check whether your dough is correctly kneaded and kneaded sufficiently, you can just stick a forefinger into the dough very softly. And if that dough springs back a little bit, your dough it's now kneaded enough that you can leave it to rise. So I say that the dough has formed a life of its own. It's now a dough, a yeast dough. Right. So with this dough, the beauty of it is we don't really leave it to rise and then shape. We shape it straight away. And that's where it's a really fun one for younger people to do, or us impatient adults actually, because we don't have to wait for an hour for the dough to rise. So we now shape the dough into rolls and place it on a greased baking tray. So you can roll it into balls. You could roll it into a rope and tie it in a knot and make a knotted roll. You could put them into muffin pans so that they get a nice round shape, and they'll have that muffin bottom with a rounded top. Whatever you fancy. So you shape your dough into rolls, place them on the greased baking tray, and then put them in a warm place to double in size. It will take at least half an hour for them to double really nicely, and in this cold weather, it might take a bit longer. Yeast responds well to heat, so obviously in a warm place, it works a lot better. Surprisingly, yeast will also rise in a yeast recipe. The dough will rise in the fridge or the freezer too. If you freeze a dough, you'll see that it rises. But if you do refrigerate your dough before baking it, if you refrigerate these rolls as an example overnight, which you can do, take them out in the morning, bring them to room temperature before baking. They will have risen, but bring them to room temperature before baking to get the best results. So now we've put them in a warm place to double its size. When the rolls have doubled, brush them with some egg, which has been whisked, just plain egg. You can use just egg yolk, which makes them a little bit more brown. And decorate with poppy seeds or sesame seeds if you'd like, or leave them plain. You don't have to do an egg wash. The egg wash purely gives them a bit of a color and shine. They're equally good with or without egg wash, and it depends on your preference. It's fun for the kids to paint onto them, but it's not a necessity. Bake your rolls for 15 to 20 minutes. They are done if they sound hollow when they're tapped underneath. And then just leave them to cool on a wire rack or on any cooling rack, and they are ready to eat. So the smaller, the half size makes about 8 rolls, depending on the size you make them. If you double, you'll have about 16. You can use this to make a challah with the children, which is also lovely. It's a very, very easy recipe. Again, use it to make your pizzas, any basic bread dough that you're looking for. That works beautifully. So, I'm trying to see if we've had any requests for any particular recipes. What about something nice to eat other than a fun activity? Cheesy potato boats. Potato boats are always a lot of fun. And this is a meal that the whole family can enjoy, depending on what you add to it. So, your cheesy potato boats. Quantities I'm going to give for 2 people. So, you need 1 large scrubbed potato, a quarter cup of grated cheese, and 2 knobs of butter or margarine. Again, this is a lovely one to do with the kids, a lovely one for anybody to learn how to make mashed potato. It's a basic, but not everybody does know, and this is an easy way of making your baked potato and using up the entire potato. So, you then have, so for your actual potatoes, as I said, it's a scrub potato, a quarter cup of grated cheese, and 2 knobs of butter or margarine. Then, ingredients for decorations. These are just some ideas. Toothpicks, paprika, button mushrooms, cucumber strips, watercress, stoned black olives, carrots, which are sliced or julienne, shredded lettuce, shaped sliced cheese, strips of green or red pepper. Our method. Set the oven to 200 degrees Celsius, which is 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Carefully prick your potatoes using a fork and put them on a greased baking tray. Well, I've said potatoes. If you're using smaller ones, use 2. Bake your potatoes for 1.25 to 1.5 hours so that they are nice and firm and crispy, and your inside will be tender. Remove your potatoes from the oven, but leave your oven on. Now, remember, these potatoes will be very hot, so be careful when you touch them or leave them to cool slightly. Cut the potatoes in half lengthwise and scoop out the middles into a bowl and mash them. So you've got your mash, you've got your outside of your potato, you've got the potato skin, which is nicely intact. You've scooped out with a spoon and you've mashed your middle now, your actual potatoes. You've mashed in a bowl. Stir in the margarine and your quarter cup of cheese. And then you spoon that mixture back into the potato skins and level them off. Put your potatoes back into the oven for another 15 minutes so that they can get crispy on the outside. The skin will get crispy and so that your mashed potato section can bake and form a little bit of a crust on the top possibly while it's baking. Right. Now, when they come out of the oven, you can decorate them any way that you wish. And here are a few boating ideas for the boys or the girls. Use shredded lettuce for the sea. So you put the potatoes on top of shredded lettuce. Cut some fish shapes out of red pepper or cheese slices and put them on the lettuce around your boats. Now, I've got a few ideas for different boats that you can do. First, a sailing boat. Cut a triangle of cheese or green pepper and thread it onto a toothpick. So that will make your mast, your flag. Place a diamond shape of red pepper on top of the potato to form the deck. A small flag can be made out of cheese and put on top of the mast. And then black or green olives can be used as your sailors. A potato rowing boat. The cucumber and carrot sticks can be used for the oars, so you have those sticking out of the side of your potato. A row of olives down the center forms your crew, and watercress leaves form the sailor's arms holding the oars. And then a lovely one is the stuffed steamer. Funnels can be made of sliced carrot with mushroom stalks placed on top of them. Watercress forms the steam coming out of the center funnel, and red pepper can be used to outline the deck of the steamer. So you can have a lot of fun with these, and it's a fun meal, it's a nice meal, and you could make fish to have with it on the side, or tuna patties, anything that, you know, instead of it being just potato, cheese and potato, you can have a protein with it in addition.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the SN Fresen Show with Tracy Milner, Tracy Terespolsky. If you know me, it's Tracy Terespolsky. Okay, we've shared some really fun recipes this morning, and I hope you've all enjoyed so far. I have a request. Somebody's just asked me if I would please share an easy fudge recipe. Fudge is also a lovely thing to do with the kids, but obviously because we are dealing with hot sugar, we need to be careful. So the recipe I've got is for a microwave fudge. So you still need to be careful with the kids, but it's a quick and easy one that's a little safer because you're not dealing with a stovetop. So your ingredients, very similar, same ingredients as you would use for a stovetop fudge, but just comes out a lot quicker and a lot easier. Right. For microwave fudge, the ingredients, 2 cups of sugar, 125 grams of margarine, I wouldn't substitute oil here, 1 tin of condensed milk, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and 1 teaspoon of vinegar. The vinegar helps the fudge to set. Right. Mix your sugar, your 2 cups of sugar, your 125 grams of margarine, and your tin of condensed milk together, and put them into the microwave on high for 2 minutes. Use a large bowl because this mixture does rise as it's cooking, and you need space for the mixture to rise. You also need, you don't want to burn yourself. A glass dish would be fine, or a quality plastic dish that isn't going to melt. Something microwave proof, obviously. So we've put our sugar, margarine, and condensed milk. We've mixed them together and cooked them on high for 2 minutes. Open the microwave and stir to dissolve the sugar and margarine. Replace the mixture in the microwave oven and cook on high for 5 minutes. Stir the mixture again and replace in the microwave oven again and cook on high for 3 to 5 minutes until the mixture is a nice fudge color. So you can check after 3 minutes. If you feel it needs to go in a bit more to become more of a richer color, put it in for another minute. You can put it in at 30-second increments so that you're happy with the color without it getting too dark for you. Once you're happy with the color of your mixture, so you've cooked it on high for 2 minutes, you've then cooked it on high for 5 minutes and stirred again, you've then cooked it for 3 to 5 minutes. That's the final cook. Add 1 teaspoon of vanilla and 1 teaspoon of vinegar when you're happy with the color. Stir it well and pour onto a greased baking sheet. You can line where you want to cut it. You could already cut it up now. Cut it into squares. Let it cool and then remove from the baking sheet and break it into its squares. Store in an airtight container. This is a really delicious fudge. And really fun to do, fun to make, and lovely to give as gifts. You can pack a few into a packet, decorate it with a ribbon, and it's a lovely little present for a going home party, a going home gift from a party when we back into that, or when anyone comes to visit, or just to serve with your tea. Another one that I had a request for is coconut ice. Okay, this is another fun one to do. And our ingredients again, we need again condensed milk. So again, quick and easy coconut ice, 1 tin of condensed milk. We'll need a 500 gram packet of icing sugar. You'll need a 5 by 250 mils or 5 cups of coconut. It's 400 grams. 5 mils of vanilla essence and a few drops of pink food coloring. Mix all the ingredients except the food coloring together. So you're mixing your tin condensed milk, your icing sugar, your coconut, and your vanilla essence. Mix them all, and your mixture will be very stiff. Divide your mixture in two, and mix a few drops of the food coloring with one half of the mixture. Put one layer of white mixture in a greased baking tin, and press it flat. So you're using your full white mixture. If it's too big for 1 tin, you'll use 2 tins. So then you will divide your white mixture in half and put half in each tin. But you put a layer of white mixture in a tin, press it flat, and then add a layer of your pink mixture. Allow that to set in the fridge, and then cut it into little squares and store in an airtight container. So another very nice one to do with the kids. It's a nice, easy one. Okay. Another recipe recipe I will share with you. I hope you're not getting too tired of all these recipes. But baking with kids is so rewarding. I think I've engendered a love of baking in all my children and all my nieces and nephews and all the children that I've been blessed to teach over the years. I get calls from themselves now that they've grown up and from their parents, just saying how wonderful it is that I had such a love of being in the kitchen, of doing in the kitchen, and the achievement that they've had right from a young age of producing edible things that people enjoy, and that it's okay to have fun in the kitchen. Being in the kitchen is not only a functional thing just to get food out onto the table. It's okay to, as I call it, play with your food. I love playing with my food. It's fun and it's creative and it just is very fulfilling. If I can't sleep at night, baking is my best go-to to just get my mind at ease, calm me down, and just more rest for some rest. Okay. The last one I would like to share with you is baking with puff pastry. Now, puff pastry is something we can get anywhere. You can make your own, but it's a bit of a mission. It's doable, but it's much easier to buy ready-made puff pastry. And I've got a few ideas that you can make with puff pastry. These are quick and easy treats. And most of the ingredients are on hand, especially if you do have your puff pastry with you. Easy enough to find at most supermarkets and most of our kosher outlets. Okay, so you need for this a roll of puff pastry ready-made and an egg. And then I have three alternatives for you. So for palm ears or pig's ears, as we have spoons of chopped nut. So for your palm ears, let's first start at the beginning. You need to preheat your oven to 220 degrees and grease a baking sheet with spray and cook, or, as I said, line with parchment paper or tinfoil.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back to the SN Fresen Show with Trey Milner. We were a bit interrupted there in the middle of the recipe. So again, we're baking with puff pastry now. We need a roll of puff pastry and an egg. And we're going to make three different things. We're going to make palm ears, which are like pig's ears, cheese twists, and mini custard slices. So for your palm ears, you need 4 tablespoons of brown sugar and 2 tablespoons of chopped nuts. For the cheese twists, 1/2 cup of grated cheddar cheese. And for your mini custard slices, 1/2 packet of vanilla instant pudding, 1/2 cup of cream, 3/4 cup icing sugar, and 1 tablespoon of hot water. You could mix your vanilla instant pudding with a Pareve or non-dairy milk, if you prefer, or with Orly Whip, and keep them Pareve. Okay, so we preheat our oven to 220 degrees Celsius. Grease your baking tray with spray and cook, or use parchment paper. Divide your dough into 3 equal parts. You're going to use 1 part for each recipe and beat your egg in a glass or jug with a fork. We're now ready to start. So for the palm ears, which is your four pig's ears, roll out your pastry into a rectangle about 30 by 20. Brush it with egg and sprinkle on 2/3 of the sugar and nuts. Fold the short sides of your rectangle to the middle and brush them with egg and sprinkle with the rest of the sugar and nuts. Fold your edges into the middle and brush the top with egg. Fold your pastry in half to form a roll and cut it into 16 slices. Place your slices onto the baking tray. So it's a really fun one. You're ready to bake. Your cheese twists. Roll your pastry out into a rectangle. Brush with egg, sprinkle with cheese over 1/2 of the rectangle. Fold your pastry over the cheese to make a sandwich. So you're folding it in half and roll that flat. Trim your edges with a knife and brush your sandwich with egg And now you cut the sandwich that you flattened into about 20 strips. Twist each strip several times and press the ends onto the baking tray. And there's that beautiful cheese twists. The last one is the custard slices. You roll your pastry into a rectangle. Cut your pastry into small rectangles, about 5 centimeters by 2.5 centimeters. You can do little squares, 2.5 by 2.5 or bigger. Place your rectangles of pastry onto a greased baking tray. While these are baking, which will take about 10 minutes, mix your custard powder with the cream until the pudding thickens. Your vanilla pudding, sorry, with the cream until the pudding thickens. Put your icing sugar into a bowl and slowly add the water until your icing is runny. That's in a separate bowl. Bake all your pastries for about 10 minutes. Check after about 8 minutes that they're not getting too brown. Remember, you're baking on 220, which is a very hot oven. So check that they're not getting too brown. The pastries are ready when they're crisp and golden brown. Once they're baked, take the pastries out of the oven and put them on a wire rack to cool. Now, the only thing that needs completion are the mini custard slices, because all you've got there are little squares of dough. So split each rectangle in half and put custard pudding on the bottom half and put your top half back onto the pastry. Arrange your pastries on a plate and using a spoon, pour a little icing onto each pastry and serve. I serve these very often as a dessert. And I do them pareve, obviously, then. So I just mix my vanilla pudding with almond cream or Orly Whip or any non-dairy milk, soya milk, and let that firm up a little bit, and I use that. And then the water icing, obviously, is pareve anyway. So that's a lovely, quick, and easy one. So I hope you've enjoyed some of these recipes that I've shared with you today. And if you would like copies of them, please go onto our Facebook page, Tracy's Treats. They will be there. I will be posting them later or tomorrow. You can also give me a call anytime. My cell number is 082-850-1621. 082-850-1621. And, I'd be happy to help you with any advice that you need or any help if you're stuck with any of the recipes or any recipe that you're tackling on your own. If you would like some advice or help, I'm happy to try and do my best to help you with that. I've really enjoyed being with you today, and I would like to end off with a competition for all of you who have been listening. I would like to challenge you to share, as I mentioned, make something with your children when upload onto Facebook, and please tag Tracy's Treats in, and I will, when lockdown is finished and I can print the recipe book, I would love to give you a copy of the kids cooking school recipe book, which I would love. Or you could choose to have a private cooking class with me, you or your kids, for you and 3 friends. So that would be the competition that we will be running on our Facebook page. And I would love to interact with all of you. I would love to meet all of you. And please feel free to call me, as I said, anytime, 082-850-1621. Again, mazel tov to Sharon and her family on the safe arrival of their new little grandson and son. And I look forward to being with you on Chai FM again soon.